Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
So greatly that he lowered himself, as you know, to being a was being brutally treated and tortured, his beard plucked out, falsely accused, spit on, beaten, crucified. Goodness. We've had some good kings in the past in history in the world. King David would be one that stand up to me. King Josiah stands out to me. There have been some other kings, not just for Israel. I think for England, they would probably say King Alfred would probably be one of their best of all time. He was a strong believer. Cyrus the Great was a pretty good king. The Persian king. There have been some good ones over time, but none of them like Jesus. Not even close. Who would be so selfless? The king that you and I have. There's been no king like him in all the earth. And his reign never ends. How about that? And then because, you know, we're Americans, we don't know much about having a king. You know, what we did when we had one, we broke away from it, right? I think that needed to happen. The Revolutionary War, we broke away from a king that our country, this country, if you're a citizen here, felt like we needed to be free from. So we've not had a king in a long time. Been a long, long time. But spiritually, we do have a king. So it's a different mindset. It's not a democracy in the kingdom. We don't get a vote. Right? We get to follow this king. And so it's a different way of living. If you've been in a nation that has a king, I mean, it's different. I've been in some of those nations. It feels different when you're on the ground. And there's like a, oftentimes I would say, a harshness. Sometimes we're not talking about like a ceremonial monarchy like England has now, or Great Britain has now, but other nations that have kings where they have unchecked power. They can do whatever they want to do. And we see that through history. We have some of those living today, hopefully today in some nations. And then in history we see them, and what they're going to do oftentimes because they are fallen men, they're going to accumulate as much as they can for themselves. They will probably dominate people instead of taking care of and being selfless. They usually take from and accumulate all kinds of things. I mean, King Solomon did this with 700 wives. Crazy. All kind of material things. I was in a nation once, and the king of that nation, he just, I don't know what way to say it, but raped his nation of every resource. People were, as I was driving by, going to my job, going to the U.S. Embassy, people were in garbage, big piles of garbage that were in the streets, and picking through the cars of the people, they'd throw stuff at us when we go by. And then I talked to some other Americans that were in the king's palace, and they were on the same plane flight back out of that country to here. And I was asking the question, what it was like being in the palace? They said, well, surrounded by passing machine guns, and just abject poverty outside the gates, but inside was lush and opulent. And there just nothing was withheld of expensive everything. And they said they were wiring, doing some, at that point, some internet wiring in the palace, in the king's palace. And what they found is that we couldn't believe this. But we were in some rooms and there were pallets of U.S. dollars. Pallets high, 4x4 high, of U.S. dollars in the king's palace while people were starving on the outside. That's what often happens with kings in the world over history, is they accumulate for themselves instead of making sure that other people are free, other people are treated fairly, other people are fed. It's unfortunate. And I can see why it's scary for some to think about having a king, seeing God, seeing Jesus as a king. But he's not the king of them. It's not scary to have Jesus as a king. It's in fact the exact opposite. When Jesus appeared on the scene, he didn't look like a king. He was a baby. And he looked to be a man. And you know one thing about Jesus, I love everything, but he didn't dress to a people would, like, respect us who we are. You've got a lot. He just was normal. Just dressed normal. He didn't look like a king. But he is perfect, perfectly just, perfectly loving, perfectly generous. Shares all that he has. Literally, when he made you and I an heir with him, he began to share everything that he has with you and I. There's no king like that. Can you imagine? King that shares everything that he has. That's what Jesus does. He's perfectly holy, as we've just been seeing. Perfectly kind, personal, humble. He's given his entire life, his whole life, poured it out for us to help us. As the king, he has done that to set us free. John 3:16, we all know this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Jesus' name means salvation. Means salvation. He is salvation. The King of all is coming to save and set free. Then the word redeem means to buy out. The term is used specifically in reference to the purchase of slaves' freedom. So to redeem someone meant you were purchasing them out of slavery, setting them free. Of course, one of the names or the qualities of Jesus is he's our redeemer. Well, so whether we realize it or not, we were slaves. We were slaves to sin. Jesus came to free us. One of my favorite characters in history is a guy named Raymond Nonatus. He was born, I think, in 1204, a long time ago. As his mom was giving, trying to give birth to him, she died before he came out. So he actually cut her open. Primitive C-section. And his name, Nonatus, Nonatus actually means never born. And his father is of course, lost his wife, but he's a wealthy man, raised Raymond to know the Lord, and Raymond had this heart for God all the way through. He just had this desire for Jesus. And his dad wanted him to do one thing that he felt called to do something different, and he began serving the Lord. He wanted to help people. He heard about this group of people that were rescuing Christians who were enslaved by the Muslims in northern Africa. So he started raising money to go purchase them. He and some other folks raised a bunch of money. He went to North Africa to where the Christians were being held. Used all of his money, went to two different nations there, purchased 490 Christians out of slavery and set them free. And his money was gone, and there was still a bunch left. So he said, what would you take for me? How many Christians can I get set free for my life? And he gave him 28. 28 others were set free and took their place in prison, hoping that he would be redeemed one day himself. Well, as he's there, waiting for months or years, I don't know the exact amount of time that he was there, he is sharing the gospel with his captors, and they're being saved. And the authorities get furious with him because they're being converted. The jailers are being converted. They tell him to shut up, and he doesn't. And he keeps preaching. Keep sharing the gospel, the love of Jesus with people. So these same authorities take a hot iron from the fire and they pierce his bottom lip and his top lip and they put a padlock through his lips. True story. Put a padlock through his lips to shut them up. Fortunately, after a good amount of time, money was raised for him. Another delegation comes and purchases his spirit. He goes back and continues to live and serve and pastor people. But he got his, of course, his heart, the idea, and the thought of redeeming people from Jesus, who with our Redeemer. He wanted to redeem others as well. And he did. Romans 5, verse 6 says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man," although Raymond was one of those, "though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Isn't that amazing? Before you were ever born, he died for you. Thinking about you. Knowing you were going to be a sinner. And die for you. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me ahead of time from the wrath. It ain't all wrath. It's not for you and I. You know that? The wrath of God is for none of you. None of us, because of Jesus. Because he has redeemed us. And there are benefits to redemption. There are a lot of them. One of them is forgiveness of sins. Righteousness. Freedom from the law's curse. Adoption into God's family. Deliverance from sin's bondage. Healing. Peace with God. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Eternal life. We've been redeemed. We get all those things. To be redeemed then is to be forgiven, holy, justified, free, set free, adopted, and reconciled to God. Galatians 4, verse 3 says, "So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that," verse 5, "so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that he might receive," excuse me, "that we might receive the adoption as sons. And now, because you are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father!' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and a son and an heir through God. Jesus redeemed us so that we could receive adoption." Adoption is a beautiful thing. Here in the natural, when people adopt a child, but adoption for every single one of us. We've been adopted. If you don't feel adopted, if you've never had this cry out, "Abba, Father," then that transaction maybe you haven't received yet until today. Because you can have that very thing when you never feel alone, you never feel an orphan. If you feel an orphan, you never receive what Jesus purchased. And his redemption is you are his. Colossians 1, verse 13 says this, "For he rescued us," Jesus, "from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." Excuse me, I guess it's the Father there. "For the Father rescued us through Jesus. Transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In whom," verse 14, "we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And then skip down to verse 21. "And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds." You know, I think of those, the life before we met Jesus, and the life you see of people, whether it's in Hollywood or on the news or whatever, you see this very descriptive. "Hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds." That is the situation, that's the status of an unredeemed sinner. That is what we are. All of us. I'm not better, you're not better than anybody else. But that's what we were before Jesus. Hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. Verse 22, "Yet he has now reconciled me in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him and blameless and beyond reproach." That's a remarkable thing Jesus has done for us. Ripped us out of the kingdom of darkness, placed us in his own kingdom. Made us all righteous. Broke the chains of bondage. Of course, his greatest heirs with him. And as king of the universe, which Jesus mean, that was a bad sin. That was adultery. They had a murder on that. And then, when David is repenting in Psalm 51, he says, Lord, against you only have I sinned. I'm thinking, no. I think you sin against other people too, but as king, you really have an authority to do what you want to do. It's pretty amazing. Jesus is king, and he can do whatever he wants. He has the greatest name in all the earth, in all the heavens. He's been given authority, all authority, in heaven and earth, all authority. Right? He can do whatever he wants. And what does he want? He's demonstrated that. He wants you to be saved and redeemed entirely. To fill you with his spirit. To break every bondage that you have. Any addiction. And to heal everything that needs healed. In Hebrews 13:8, it says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he used to do, he still does. And will always do. All those things. His desire is to save us. That our hearts will be open to receive all that he has. We are the gatekeepers of what he has to give to us. Pretty amazing. He's not a forceful king. He's the inviting king. He's the one who says, if you receive, you can have. If you ask, I'll give. He fills with his spirit. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. In other words, if we haven't responded to him in any way, then guess what? Today is that day. I can respond, I can invite, I can receive all that the king has to give, because he wants to give. He first wants us to receive his love, then his forgiveness, and then his cleansing and washing by his blood. Then to receive your adoption and your adoption papers as a son or a daughter. And then to fill you with his spirit over and over and over again. And receive your new identity. I remember when you heard me tell the story of Melita that got saved, the African witch doctor, who got mad at me 3 days later, and I didn't know why. And he said, I understand, you know, thank you for telling me about Jesus and all this, but why have you withheld from me my new name? I did not know I was supposed to give him one. But he wanted a new identity. He wanted a different identity, a brand new one. For you and I, when we receive Jesus, you get a brand new identity as a son of the king. As a son of the Father, as a daughter of the Father. Jesus is the answer to yesterday's sorrow, today's concern, and tomorrow's unknown. He is the answer for every single thing in our life. And he has lots of things to give. Is there anything you need that you haven't received yet? That you want? That he has? Whether that's that sense of adoption, where you are not an orphan anywhere. That sense of, yes, you fit in. You fit in. Or healing for something. Or whatever it is, redemption. Maybe a breaking of a bondage in some way. A bondage that has stayed with you for years or maybe decades. It's like, I can't get rid of this thing. Jesus wants to break that thing. He's the bondage breaker. When he went to the temple on the Sabbath, he started to read Isaiah, when you read in there, I came to set captives free. He starts reading the prophecy of Isaiah, and he said, these, this is fulfilled in your hearing. So I came to set the captives free. anybody who wants something from Jesus, if he has to give, that you don't have yet, and you want it today, I just ask you to say, whatever that is, salvation, healing, redemption, adoption, joy, all the things that he has a lot to give, hope, he has rest for the weary, so he said. So come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. So there's something you identify inside of you, inside of what's your, whether it's your physical body, or whether it is your soul, whether it is your spirit man, that needs something that he has to give, that he's talked about. Giving. Stand. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. Everybody who's sitting, look at someone who's standing, and go stand next to them. Put your hand on their shoulder. Unless they look at you like, don't do that. Let's have everyone in here have a hand on their shoulder. Who will stand? Is there anybody who's standing and you know who's touching you yet? Raise your hand. And make sure everybody is coming to talk to you. We still have a couple people here that need some people to pray for them. That's a step out of your seat. Thank you. I'm taking stuff. Anybody else? So here's something that's incredible. We talk about this all the time. But the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Right? That's what he said. And we are like Jesus in this world. We get to be the conduit of what he wants to give to other people. Anytime it comes through us, comes through faith, comes through voice. But Jesus, I can feel in my spirit today, he wants to help. And he wants to set free today. There are people here today that are going to receive, everyone is good. You're going to receive something in your mind, what it is. What is it that you want from Jesus? What is that thing that you're missing? What is that thing that you need? What is that thing that you long to have from you? What is that freedom that you cannot wait to taste of? His blood is still wet and powerful, still cleansing every single day. His spirit is still present here right now. God is distant, God is close to our breath, living on the inside. That we who are praying are simply here to release living water that's already inside us. That Jesus has given to us. The Spirit of the living God does what we cannot do. And so by faith, we're going to speak to those who are praying, not asking you to pray in this way. Speak it over them. What they're looking for, what they're wanting. Pronounce it over them. Release it to them. In Jesus' name. If you need to ask them what they want, you shouldn't do that.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.